We live in the media age. We can find out what's going on around the world by watching it on TV, listening to it on the radio, reading about it on the internet, maybe even in a newspaper or magazine. Or we can learn about it through social media, places like Twitter or Facebook. We are always just moments away from finding out what's happening across the U.S. as well as around the world. Anything from a prison break in upstate New York to the capsizing of a cruise boat all the way over in China. Well, all of this news coverage and all of this social media means that our leaders and our celebrities are constantly being reported on and watched more closely than ever before. Everything they do and say is recorded and reported to us, including all of their bad behavior. And when they're caught doing something embarrassing or inappropriate, we often hear them say things like, "That wasn't the real me that did that." Or, "I'm not really like that." Or, "That was just a momentary slip that I made." Often their friends and family will also come to their defense and say to us things like, "In their hearts, they're not really like that." So what are we supposed to make of all this? To what extent is what we do an accurate reflection of who we really are? I mean, granted, living in the public eye cannot be an easy thing. I am glad that I don't do that. But should we evaluate a person according to what it is that they do, according to their actions and their behaviors? Is what they do a reflection of the environment around them or of what's inside of them? Well, thankfully for us, this is an issue that Jesus spoke to. He talked with his disciples about how to understand the relationship between what we do and who we are. And he tells them that this is a relationship that is very close and very important. And so this morning we are going to see that what we do shows who we are. And it shapes who we become. So if you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible with you, but would like to follow along, and I'd encourage you to do that, you can grab one of the red Bibles that's there in the row in front of you, and it's on page about 1603, I think. Luke chapter 6. We're going to be at the very end of that chapter. What we do shows who we are. Jesus taught his disciples that what they do shows who they are. He used several illustrations from agriculture to make his point. So in Luke 6, starting in verse 43, we read, and this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says to them, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Now, I think what Jesus is saying to his disciples here is pretty clear. He's telling them to evaluate their actions because their actions show who they are. Their behaviors reveal what it is that their heart is full of, whether it's good or bad. Now, when we talk about the heart, when we read about the heart here in the Bible, we need to make sure that we are thinking about it like the Bible thinks about it. Oftentimes when we talk, you know, just in our more everyday conversation, if we talk about a person's heart, we're talking about their emotions or about their feelings. But in the Bible, the concept of heart is much bigger than that. It's the place from which a person's will, emotions, and desires all come from. It is the very core of the person. So in the Bible, heart isn't a part of who we are. It is the very center of who we are. So when Jesus tells his disciples that their actions come from their heart, he is saying that what they do is an expression of what it is they are like on the inside. Their behaviors reveal what is in their very core. And he likens what they do to fruit that's produced by a tree. Healthy fruit is produced by a healthy tree. Good actions come from a good heart. Unhealthy fruit comes from an unhealthy tree. Evil actions come from a heart that is full of evil. And then Jesus, in the closing verse there, focuses on one particular kind of behavior, our speech. And he tells his disciples that a person's speech is a window into the condition of their heart. It shows whether there's good or evil in it. You know, it's this teaching of Jesus that James, the brother of Jesus, the leader of the Jerusalem church, picks up on and writes and expands upon in the letter that he wrote that we know of as our book of James in the New Testament. In fact, in verse 3, he focuses on this issue of speech and what it reveals about us explicitly. And there in chapter 3 of James, he makes the point that words are very powerful, that words can cause great harm, and that words display or put on display what it is that's actually in our hearts. Well, this is an important lesson that we need just as much as Jesus' first disciples did. Jesus' words to them are also Jesus' words to us. And like them, we need to evaluate our actions, because what we do shows who we are. So as you sit there this morning, just take a few moments, think. What do your actions, what do the things that you do reveal about what is in your heart? What do your words expose about your emotions, about your desires, about your will? Most of us usually control our actions and our words pretty well when we're out in public. We come to church and we put on our very best behavior. We're more polite, we're more gentle, we're more patient, we're more careful in what we say and what we don't say. But what about in our more unguarded moments? When we're at home and only family is around? Or we're at work and there aren't any other Christians near us? Or when we're hanging out with our friends? What do the things that we do and say in those unguarded moments reveal about what's actually inside of us? Are you frequently impatient with your children or with your grandchildren? Are you a person who's easily aggravated? Do you get irritated by them very quickly, even when they're just acting their age? Jesus tells us that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Our words can expose an impatient heart. Are you frequently critical of your spouse? Perhaps you criticize him directly. Or maybe you're just critical of her to your friends. Do you emphasize shortcomings more than you praise successes? Jesus says that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Our words can expose a critical heart. Are you envious of your neighbor's new car, or your friend's new job, or your coworker's upcoming vacation, or of everyone on Facebook and Instagram who posts pictures of the food that they're eating and all the fun that they're having? Do you find yourself dissatisfied with your used car, with your job, with your friends, with your life? Jesus says that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Our envious words and thoughts expose our envious hearts. And so Jesus wants us to take a sober, serious look at our words and our actions because they show who we are. They reveal what is actually inside of us. We want to consider our hurtful words and our harmful actions as mistakes, as aberrations, as not reflective of who we really are. But Jesus says to us, don't do that. You're deceiving yourself when you do that. What you do, what you say, that's what shows who you really are. I think for most of us, that is tremendously depressing news. Because if we have the integrity to be honest with ourselves, we don't particularly like what some of our actions and some of our words show about who we are. But that's why we can be so thankful for Jesus. Because part of the reason that Jesus came to earth, part of the reason he came to us, is so that we can have a new heart. God gives a new heart to those who repent of their sins and put their faith in Jesus. God describes it in Ezekiel 36. Paula, you got to help me. You advance the slide. Thank you. Ezekiel 36, and this is God speaking. He says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Now, this cleansing and this gift of a new spirit and a new heart is spoken of as a future event in this passage, but that's because God is speaking back before Jesus came to earth, died, and rose again. Because for a born-again believer, a person who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, this new heart and this new spirit, the Holy Spirit, is a present reality for us. And this new heart that God gives to those who follow him is a heart that seeks to please him. And it shows itself in a change of our basic disposition and our deepest values. Now, this, however, does not mean that we will no longer struggle with temptations or with bad habits. We will. And when we do, those hurtful words and those harmful actions remind us that there is still brokenness inside of us, brokenness that needs to be rooted out and redeemed. But a person who has genuinely repented of their sins and put their faith in Jesus is going to experience a basic change in the nature of their heart towards God. And that is because God has given us a new heart. What we do shows who we are. Our actions reveal what is actually inside of us, both good and bad. But that is not the only thing that our actions do. What we do also shapes who we become. Jesus tells his disciples that what they do also shapes who they will become. He points out to them that there's a big difference between listening to what he says and doing what he says. But if they're faithful to do what he says, then they're going to be prepared to handle any challenge that they face in this life. Paula, can you advance? Thanks. We're back in Luke 6 now, verse 46. Again, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says to them, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what he is like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation on the rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." And Jesus is reminding his disciples that there is a big difference between listening to what he says and doing what he says. He likens it to the difference between building a house without a foundation and building one with a foundation. Now, at first glance, you look at these two houses and they look very similar. But then when something challenging comes, like a flood, the difference becomes very clear. The house without a foundation collapses, but the one with the foundation stands firm to the end. And Jesus tells his disciples that obedience to him, following him faithfully, is the only way in which they can build their lives on a foundation that can and will survive everything that they are going to face. Now, this is no small promise that Jesus is making to them. Of the 12 apostles, church tradition tells us that only one of them died of old age. All the rest of them were put to death for following Jesus. And not one of them turned away. Why? Because their ongoing obedience to Jesus had built in them a foundation that no tragedy, no threat, no power in this world could overcome. Every one of them faithfully persevered until the end and were welcomed into the presence of God, because they didn't just listen to Jesus, they also did what he had taught them. Well, just as Jesus called his disciples to be followers and not just listeners, he is calling us to be followers and not just listeners. Because what we do shapes who we become. Now, these verses here are the capstone on all that Jesus teaches in Luke chapter 6. All this material is something that Jesus presented to his disciples in one sitting. We've actually spread it out over the last 4 weeks. In that time, we've learned that Jesus wants us to be honest about the challenges of today, but motivated by the heavenly reward of tomorrow. We've learned that we are supposed to love even our enemies. We've learned that we are to humbly acknowledge our own sin and brokenness so that we can redemptively address the sin and brokenness in others, so that we can do it in ways that are winsome, that draw them to Jesus. And we've learned that we need to evaluate our actions and our words because they reveal what is in our hearts. But Jesus wants to make sure that we understand that all of his teaching is wasted on us if we don't actually do what he has commanded us to do. It does us little good to just sit and listen to him. Now, you may find Jesus to be very interesting. You may find him compelling. You may find his words soothing and comforting. But if you aren't following him, if you aren't obeying him as your Lord and Savior, as your rescuer and as your King, then his words are doing you no good. If you call him Lord, but do not do what he says, You are building your life on ground that cannot possibly bear up to the challenges that you will face in this life. An unpleasant job, a difficult marriage, the loss of your health, the death of a loved one, a diagnosis of cancer will collapse your house. But if you listen to Jesus and you do and you follow and you obey, you will become a house with a sure foundation. You will still face the challenges of this life, the unpleasant job, the difficult marriage, the loss of health, the death of a loved one, the diagnosis of cancer, but your house will not collapse. It will be tested. It will be challenged. But it will not fail. This is who we can become. People with spiritual foundations so secure that no tragedy, no threat, no power on this earth can overcome it. And this is why we need to listen to Jesus and then do everything that he has called us to do. We aren't called just to learn the message and mission of Jesus. We are called to join in his message and in his mission. And that means that we do what he did, that we teach what he taught, that we value what he values, that we oppose what he opposes, that we love what he loves, and that we don't just talk about it, but that we actually join him in doing it. What we do shows who we are and shapes who we become. Because our actions show who we are, we need to evaluate the things that we do in the words that we speak, because those things expose what's in our hearts. And because what we do shapes who we become, we need to grow in our obedience to Jesus. And as we do that, it will build in us a spiritual foundation that can weather all of the storms that we will face in this life. And we will face many of them because we live in a broken world. Well, one of the things that Jesus has called us to do is to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And so we're going to do that this morning. You don't need to be a covenant member of our church to participate. You just need to love and to follow Jesus. And parents, we as always leave it up to you to decide when your children are old enough to participate. Servers who will be serving us, would you guys come forward?